Last week, Governor Rauner declared some parts of Illinois disaster areas because of flooding. We check in with the town of Freeport to see how residents there are faring. And Chicagoan Luis Vasquez is the winner of the Joffrey Ballet's Winning Works competition for choreographers. The U of I alum originally taught himself to dance by watching YouTube.
This is when YouTube was first starting. I was about as self-taught as one can be in ballet.
We speak with him and Joffrey's artistic director, Ashley Weeder, about the Joffrey's year-long attempt to bring more women and people of color into the ballet world. And are you ready for the Oscars? We roll out our own red carpet for film critics Reggie Ponder and Katie Reif as we host our own Oscar party right here on the 21st. Will movies like Coco take home the award?
Remember me, though I have to travel far, remember me.
That's all coming up this hour on the 21st. Stay tuned. The latest news is next. Welcome to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. For the past 2 weeks, several areas around the state have been dealing with severe flooding. Last week, Governor Bruce Rauner issued a state disaster proclamation for several counties. In Freeport, Illinois, a town about 20 miles west of Rockford, the flooding has hit especially hard. Dozens of people were evacuated from their homes. Five families have had to stay at an emergency American Red Cross shelter. The town was also forced to close one of its elementary schools because of water blocking roads. To get more details, I'm joined now by the city manager for Freeport, Lowell Crow. Lowell, thanks for being with me. Welcome to the 21st.
Well, thank you, Nyla. It's a pleasure to be on.
Lowell, what's the situation right now in Freeport?
We're doing very well. The water's come down to about 14 feet, 3 inches. We've reopened most of the roads over in east of the Pecatonica. We still have a few that are closed. We've also had some washouts, which we're going to have to address. My public works director is out checking the homes. We're actually going to start cleanup of the homes themselves with our church cooperative on Saturday. They're going to be bringing in, and the Salvation Army is going to be working with them. And the city's providing dumpsters for those crews as well as additional help.
So when you say washouts, do you mean the road or actual buildings?
No, we've had one road that has a washout area. The buildings, I've been in communications with several of the businesses in the area. We're getting damage estimates. It came up a little bit differently than what we've normally seen out there. Even though it was at 16 feet 2 inches, I was acting like it did back in floods that were well over 17 feet, and that was because the ground was frozen. So we had areas that had not flooded in over 40 years flood. And so it was an impact. So we were concerned. One of our largest employers, Honeywell, a good portion of their facility was surrounded by 2 feet of water. Their damage is more surface on the outside. They didn't get any flooding into the building itself.
And how's the cleanup going for your elementary school?
It's good. The elementary school was not closed because of damage. It was closed because we couldn't get any of the buses to the elementary school.
I see. Because of the roads.
Because of the roads, right. So, in fact, my firefighters that were doing the rescues and evacuations back there, along with my police officers, actually used the building as a place where they could warm up after being out in the cold water. We were treating as ice recovery, so our guys were in their ice recovery suits, because as they were going down the streets, actually having to break the ice as they walked down the streets, going door to door.
Wow. I wonder, I saw there's a little bit of rain in the forecast. Are you worried about any more flooding next week, or what are the water levels and the ice levels looking like now?
We're down to about 14 feet, 3 inches, and it's actually dropping a little bit faster than we expected. We had a rain here, and we thought that sometimes when we get that rain, we really have to watch what's going on upriver. We watch those flood gauges, and we thought that it would stay flat, much as it did last summer when we had flooding in the same area. But we didn't get as much rain as we expected, so it's continued to drop.
So for the folks who are listening all across the state, but I imagine especially people who are a little closer to in the Rockford area who wonder what they can do to help, what would you say?
Well, the FACC and Salvation Army are looking for donations. Salvation Army has really tapped into their kitchen. You know, they served hot meals throughout the weekend to not only the families that were evacuated, but to the first responders that were working. We were doing rescues throughout Saturday and Sunday. My water rescue teams were basically put in a 48-hour work week, but they're looking for donations. The Freeport Area Church Cooperative is looking for donations to restock their pantry, as they've been giving out food to the families that were dislocated and restocking their food. And additionally, the Freeport Area Church Cooperative is doing cleanup, so that if you want to volunteer, they're the people you reach out to help with the cleanup.
Thanks. It sounds like you and all the first responders have been working very hard over the past week to deal with this tough flooding situation. Lowell Crow is the city manager for Freeport, Illinois. Lowell, thank you so much for being with me.
It's a pleasure.
For movie fans, the biggest night of the year comes on Sunday, the 90th Academy Awards, hosted yet again by Jimmy Kimmel. Will the Oscar go to a movie about a mute woman's love for a sea monster, or the real-life monsters that emerge from a suburban racist enclave? Let's just hope the envelope actually goes to the correct winner, if you recall last year's accounting fiasco. If you're someone who likes to make predictions about the winners, or maybe even enter your office Oscar pool, we've enlisted two of our favorite film critics to help guide you. Reggie Ponder is the Real Critic. He's a member of the African American Film Critics Association. He's also a resident film critic for Vocalo 90.7 FM in Chicago. He's joining us at our studios at Northwestern University in Evanston. Katie Reif is a news editor at the AV Club. She's on the line from Chicago. Reggie, Katie, welcome back to the 21st, guys. Thanks for being with me.
Hello.
Thank you.
So everyone who's listening can also share your Oscar thoughts on Twitter, what movies you loved, who you hope will win, what do you think will actually win. You can tweet us at 21STShow. We'll get to Best Picture, but let's save the literal best for last. And in this year of the Me Too movement that really came out of Hollywood, I'd like to start with your thoughts on the Best Actress race. Reggie, who do you think is going to take this?
Look, they might as well just go ahead and just give her the trophy now, and then she walks out on the stage and presents it to herself. Because if Frances McDormand doesn't win, it is a shame. That's it. That's all I have to say.
Katie, before we get to whether or not you agree, we actually have an Oscar clip. Three billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Let's hear it.
Hey, baby. Yeah. Still no rest. How come, I wonder? Because there ain't no God and the whole world's empty and it doesn't matter what we do to each other? You ain't trying to make me believe in reincarnation or something, are you? Because you're pretty, but you ain't her.
It's Frances McDormand in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I have not seen that. If you have not seen that, that is her talking to a deer. Katie, has she won every other award you could win in this category so far this year?
Yeah, she has been winning a lot of awards, and I agree with Reggie that this is Frances McDormand's award to lose. Three Billboards wasn't on my personal top 15 of the year, but I do think that the character that Frances McDormand plays in the film is like a really strong, interesting, righteous woman full of righteous fury, and she's really good in the part. Margot Robbie has playing a real person going for her in I, Tonya, as well as Meryl Streep in The Post, but I don't think that either of those performances have had quite the momentum behind them that Frances McDormand has had.
This movie is definitely in my top two of the year, and I look at movies to say that would I go see it again, and is it memorable? And her role is so memorable. If she, I can see her. I mean, I'm watching it right now, talking to you. It's hers to win. It's hers to win. It's hers. Oh yeah, I said that. It's hers to win.
Katie, you don't agree though. It sounds like you weren't even a huge fan of the movie itself.
Well, I'm a big fan of her in the movie. There were other movies that I liked better in terms of a top 15, but I think she was excellent in it, and she deserves the award.
So let's talk about supporting actress. That category also has a lot of big names, stars from TV and music. Katie, who do you like in this supporting actress category?
I'm going to cheat a little bit and pick two who I think one of them is probably likely to win. Either Laurie Metcalf in Lady Bird or Allison Janney in I, Tonya, two moms, I think, are the two front runners for supporting actress this year.
What about you, Reggie?
So I really like Mary J. in Mudbound, but I think Allison Janney just nailed it in I, Tonya. I think she will win. Her performance is memorable and eerie, actually, because they show some scenes of her mom, and she really acted like this girl's mom. So just a fantastic performance, and I think she'll win that.
We do actually have a clip of Mary J. Blige from Mudbound. Let's take a listen to that.
You just come back.
Well,
you come all the way back.
I love you, Mom.
I love you too, babe. I can't look back. I didn't look back. They say it's bad luck to watch somebody leave.
That's Mary J. Blige from Mudbound. Reggie, can you remind us about this film?
Yeah, this movie was done by writer-director Dee Rees, a woman actually who a lot of people thought might actually get a nomination for Best Director or Writer. She didn't, but she could have been deserving. I think all the people there are deserving as well. The film really follows two families that one is a black family basically sharecropping a land, and the other is the white family that kind of owns the land. And it follows their lives and juxtaposes. They both have members in their family who go to the war, and shows how each of them are treated. And it's really interesting. This is a very understated role that Mary J. Blige does. If it wasn't Mary J. Blige, the person who did it might actually win anyway, but she's getting a little bit more notoriety, obviously, because she's a singer. But she does a really understated role here in terms of showing the strength looking at redemption. I love this role. I think she did a really good job. But again, I do think that Allison Janney will win this one.
Right. Allison Janney for I, Tonya. I should note Mudbound cinematographer Rachel Morrison made history by being the first female director of photography to receive an Oscar nomination. In stark contrast to all the women we've been talking about, I want to go to the Best Director category. Natalie Portman called attention to this at the Golden Globes for there being no women in this category, but the Academy has done a slightly better job in terms of representation on this front. When we talk about diversity, there's Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird, Jordan Peele for Get Out. The remaining three nominees are white men: Christopher Nolan for Dunkirk, Paul Thomas Anderson for Phantom Thread, Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water. Katie, let's start with you. Who is your favorite first, before who you think will actually take this at your moment?
Only one woman has ever won the award for Best Director, and there was a really interesting roundtable in The Hollywood Reporter last week where they had the four, there's only ever been four black men who have been nominated for Best Director, African-American men, and never a woman of color has been nominated. So I think Jordan Peele should win, but I think they're going to give him Best Original Screenplay, which is sometimes a consolation prize that directors get.
So you think he should win. Who do you think is going to win?
I think Guillermo del Toro will probably win. But if I would vote for Jordan Peele, I think that just it's really incredible what he was able to pull off in the first feature film that he's directed. And Get Out is a movie that has great rewatch value. And when you watch it again, you see the way that he's planting all these seeds and all these little misdirections that he does in it to really just kind of, and then at the end of the film, really unleashes this really kind of horrific, shocking scenario, but the way he builds up to it is really masterfully done. So I think he should win.
Reggie, what about you in terms of thoughts on Best Director? Do you think that has Guillermo del Toro, has he won already an Oscar or no?
No.
He has not. Okay. Mm-mm. Reggie, who do you think is going to take home the Oscar?
So it's really interesting because I agree with Katie on Jordan Peele. I think he should win. I think it was masterful. This, Katie, your thought about a rewatch value is, I might steal that, is that it does have this great rewatch value. I just want to point out one scene that I heard Jordan talking about at the African American Film Critics Awards, and he said that the reason that he he did it for a reason, to have Cotton being the thing that saved Jordan Peele. And I didn't even notice that until the third time I watched it. So, I mean, not Jordan Peele, but save the character played by Daniel Kaluuya in the movie, Cotton. There's a real reason for him doing that. And so the rewatch value of that is phenomenal. So I agree. I think he should win. I think he was masterful in the way in which he told that story and actually kept us on the hook, and also doing it in the horror genre. But I think Del Toro will win hands. I think it's going to be really clear that Del Toro will win, because the Shape of Water is getting a lot of buzz.
Why this movie? I mean, I liked The Shape of Water. I thought it was interesting. I thought, and when you think of it, when you compare it though to something like Get Out, I do think that was so unoriginal, and it was so, and to have a horror film be so brilliant and scary and thought-provoking. What does the Academy love, though? Do they sort of like the kind of old Hollywood, La La Land kind of thing?
Yeah, I want to jump in really quickly and say that the reason I think that it's why is that this film, The Shape of Water, looks beautiful on the big screen. If you watch this film at home, it's not the same kind of effect. And what he did here is an accomplishment, so I could see why Hollywood would like it. I just think that the rewatch value, I said I'm going to steal it, of Get Out should trump that, but I don't think it will.
I'm speaking with film critics Katie Reif from the AV Club, the real critic Reggie Ponder here on the 21st. We're going to continue our conversation about Sunday's Oscars after a quick break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Nyla Boodoo. We're talking movies and specifically the Oscars. They're going to be broadcast this Sunday at 7 o'clock on ABC. Are you watching? Going to an Oscar party? Tweet us. Our handle's 21STShow. My guests are film critics Katie Reif from the AV Club and the real critics Reggie Ponder. Both of you, as I mentioned, this is the year of Me Too. It's also the first full year with a new presidential administration. It's not the first Oscar broadcast since President Trump was elected. Reggie, how much do you think politics are going to be mentioned?
I think it's inevitable that there will be a lot of things that will be mentioned in politics, and that people will take that opportunity to, you're on the stage and you're getting your reward to say something about society or whatever your cause is. As you know, LeBron James just got told to shut up and dribble. I know a lot of people would like for our artists to shut up and act. But that's not going to be the case. So just brace yourself, because there will be some political messages in this one.
And Katie, to Reggie's point, and when we think about the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting and how much money Hollywood has given to the young people involved in this movement, Oprah Winfrey, Steven Spielberg, the Cloonies, do you think that that's going to come up as well?
Yeah, that's very much in the forefront of people's minds right now. I think it'll probably come up. Like Reggie said, there's a lot of different, you know, kind of causes in the air. For example, the Golden Globes were only a little over a month ago, and at that particular ceremony, the Me Too movement was the center of that one. But I think, yeah, the anti-gun violence movement is definitely going to come up.
Katie, what do we know about the presenters or performers? I mentioned at the beginning of this conversation, Jimmy Kimmel's hosting. Do we expect any fun moments from that?
Well, we have all of the best original song nominees are going to be performing their songs. I believe Mary J. Blige is going to do Mighty River. She's nominated for best original song as well. from Mudbound, and then Sufjan Stevens is going to do Call Me By Your Name, and then the cast of Coco and The Greatest Showman, and then Common is going to do Stand Up for Something from Marshall, which I think this is its only Oscar nomination this year, was for Best Original Song. The song from Marshall in particular has already been used, you know, as sort of a rallying, it's a very uplifting song, and it's already been used as kind of a rallying anthem for different political causes.
Yeah, what's your favorite in the original song category?
I think either Mighty River or The Mystery of Love. I'd be happy with both of those. There are a lot of Oscar categories this year, actually, where there's more than one nominee who I'd be happy to see win. And to kind of bring it around to the stuff we were talking about the political movements, this is one of the first years after the Oscar So White controversy a few years back. The Academy, they added a whole lot of new members, you know, more diverse membership. And I think we're starting to see a little bit of that and changing in the kind of films that are getting nominated for Oscars. And I think it's a positive change.
And we've actually got that song, actually. It's from Call Me By My Name. It's The Mystery of Love.
First time that you kissed me, boundless by the time I cried. I built your walls around me. White noise, what an awful sound. Fumbling by Rogue River, feel my feet above the ground.
That's a clip from Call Me By My Name. Katie, that was one of your picks. Reggie, what about you? What are you in the original song category?
So I wish I could sing. I would just be like, remember.
Can you just bust out for us? Go ahead.
Remember Me. If Remember Me, I think that Mighty River actually for Mudbound will win. But Remember Me, I remember that song. It's staying in my head. I can't get it out of my head. And I'm actually a little bit upset. I'd like to ask Katie, did Coco make it into her top 15 films? Because it made it into my top 10.
I actually did not see Coco in time for the top 15.
Say it ain't so.
I know, I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, we'll have a Coco moment for everyone as well. Let's just play a little bit of the music. How about that?
Remember me, though I have to travel far. Remember me, each time you hear a sad guitar. Know that I'm with you, the only way that I can be. Until you're in my arms again. Remember me.
That's from Coco. Katie Reif is with me along with Reggie Ponder. Katie, I love how I was piling on you for not having seen Coco, because I haven't seen it yet either. But I just know all the youngest people in my life love it and are always singing this and really enjoy it. Reggie, I imagine you think Coco needs to win Best Animated Feature hands down, right?
Hands down. This was so powerful, so memorable, so heartwarming, so engaging. I went with my entire family, and this is absolutely one of those movies that, I guess I'm stealing it again, it has rewatch value.
Okay. So let's get to, we were talking about the women. Let's talk about male actors for a moment. The supporting actor category, I wonder if we see this as being even a little more competitive than the best actor category. There's two actors for three billboards. There's some indie films, some mainstream picks, and some veteran actors alongside. Katie, can you walk us through this category?
Sure. Yeah. Best supporting actor this year. Like you said, three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri has been getting a lot of attention this award season, and both Woody Harrelson and Sam Rockwell, who both play cops in this small Missouri town, are nominated. Christopher Plummer is nominated for All the Money in the World, which is, it's an interesting choice. I mean, he's good in the role, but I think part of that is an acknowledgement that this is the role that Kevin Spacey, he was recast after after allegations came out against Kevin Spacey. They recast the role that Christopher Plummer ended up playing and reshot all of his parts in about a month, and the film still came out on time. It was a pretty impressive feat.
Yeah.
And then we have The Shape of Water, Richard Jenkins, who plays Sally Hawkins, kind of gentle, artistic neighbor. And then we have my pick, which is Willem Dafoe as the manager of the hotel in The Florida Project. I think it's a really great term for Dafoe. He plays a lot of villains, but he just plays a really nice guy in this movie, and he does it in a really touching way. I really rooting for Willem Dafoe.
And I love The Florida Project. We have a little bit of it. Let's take a listen.
It's only second week of the summer and there's already been a dead fish in the pool.
We were doing an experiment. We were trying to get it back alive. That was my idea.
And water balloons thrown at tourists.
They didn't tip us.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh my God, this is unacceptable. I failed as a mother, Moni. You've disgraced me.
Harley.
Yeah, Mom, you're disgraced.
And I'm going to talk to Ashley, by the way. When your friend puts you in charge of her kid, that kid becomes your responsibility. You ain't taking responsibility.
Reggie, who do you think's going to win?
I am so happy that Katie said The Florida Project. Not because I like The Florida Project. I dislike that movie so much, but Willem Dafoe made everything come together.
Why
in this
did
film.
You dislike it?
It just did not resonate with me. I was the look on my face was quizzical every time. Like, huh? What are they doing? Huh? That doesn't make any sense. No, slap that kid. No, spank that kid. No, they don't let your kids do that. So it just didn't work for me. It didn't resonate. I know it resonated for some other folks, but Willem Dafoe was really good in it. And you could, and I think that if he wasn't, if you just took him out of the mix, that movie would not have been as good as it is. So I'm really happy. I want William to win it. Sam Rockwell probably will win it with the with all the buzz around Three Billboards.
Right. And Reggie, you know what I liked about The Florida Project was just it was one of those things. It's the opposite of rewatchability. I didn't really enjoy it while I watched it, but there was so much after that I thought about that I really appreciated about it.
Mm.
And I loved how authentically Florida it was. It was just like every summer I had growing up in Florida, watching those kids.
That's so funny because some people feel the same way with Lady Bird, that it was that maybe it might not be rewatchable, but that when it makes you think about a lot of things. And so I see that. I really see it. It's anyway. I would like for William to win it, and if he doesn't, I will be crying, and you'll know it.
Katie, who do you think will win this category?
I gotta agree with Reggie. I think Sam Rockwell's probably gonna take it.
Okay, so you think Sam Rockwell's gonna take it. And let's go on to screenplay awards. Katie, you said you thought that for Best Original Screenplay, you think that Jordan Peele is gonna get this as the consolation for not getting Best Director for Get Out?
Yeah, that's something that happens a lot with the Academy is a director who, you know, you'll see somebody nominated for Best Director and Best Screenplay. And, you know, and if the Academy deems them, you know, too new in their career or something like that, or, you know, that they don't necessarily appeal to the mainstream tastes of voters. I think this is more of a case of the first one. They're going to be like, well, it's your first movie. Here's a screenplay Oscar. Maybe next time you'll get Best Director.
How do you feel about that, Reggie?
Yeah, I actually think that that's probably going to happen as well. I think that Jordan, I think that he should and could win this one, but I think that he should and could win the director one as well. It'll be interesting to see if the person who wins the director would win the best original screenplay. But I think the outside horse or one that might win it is Greta might win this one for Lady Bird, because while I didn't love this film, I think it was put together really well, and I understood why it resonated with the people that it resonated with. So I think did a great job with Lady Bird.
We've actually got a little bit of Lady Bird. Let's hear some of it.
Miss Patty assigned you a role, by the way. You just never showed up to claim it.
What role?
The Tempest.
There is no role of the Tempest.
It is the titular role.
No, it's a made-up thing, so we all can participate.
You can't do anything unless you're the center of attention, can you?
Yeah, well, you know your mom... They're fake. Totally fake.
She made one bad decision at 19.
Two bad decisions.
All right, that's a clip from Lady Bird with a word that we probably could not say on the air, as everyone could tell there. What are you guys' thoughts about Lady Bird, Katie?
I liked Lady Bird. It was a movie, I think that, yeah, the way it's structured is really cool. It's set over the course of a school year, and the way that the different events throughout the year are parceled out, they're parceled out really well, and that's something that does go back to the structure of the screenplay. I graduated from high school the same year as Lady Bird. I grew up in Ohio, not Sacramento, but I similarly really just wanted to get out of there, and so... Yeah, I don't know if I'd watch it again, but Lady Bird, I was like, ooh, yeah, you got me, Greta. that was my high school experience.
Reggie, what do you think?
So I said before, so I didn't love it, and I think that's because I didn't identify exactly with the character, but I really did see why people identified. Katie just said it, you know, like, yeah, that was my experience. And I just think that they did it well. I mean, when you can tell a story that resonates with so many people, and they can say they can see themselves inside of it. That's great storytelling. So great job.
Sacramento, we should point out, as described by Lady Bird, is the Midwest of California, right? So, Katie, maybe that's part of why you can see some of yourself in that. Before we get to Best Picture, I feel like we're inching towards there. We didn't talk about Best for Acting category. We didn't talk about Best Actor. Who do you like in that category, Reggie?
So in Best Actor, wow, this one is tough because I love Daniel Kaluuya in Get Out. I think that Get Out is probably the most important film that I saw this year in terms of how it told a story, and it brought so many people into that story that might not have watched a movie about race relations. And I think that Daniel Kaluuya really established himself because he does it in a way that you don't even know that he doesn't know that he doesn't know. Anyway, I really like him, and I'd like for him to win it. But I think Daniel Day-Lewis will win for this. But the outside or dark horse might be Gary Oldman because he did a phenomenal job in Darkest Hour.
Darkest Hour. Can you remind us about that, Reggie?
This is about Winston Churchill and coming into power, and whether or not he would yield to Hitler, because Hitler at this time is conquering all these other nations, and whether or not he will do that. So it really looks at him personally and as well as politically about how he navigates the political landscape, but also what kind of man he is. And it's powerful. I mean, you walk away from that film and you say, did I just meet Winston Churchill? So if he wins, I'm good with that.
Before we get to Best Picture, really quickly, I want to ask you about music and the score. We talked about original song categories, but the score is a very different thing from the original song. And there's lots of composers who've racked up a ton of nominations over the years. Reggie, is there a general consensus about who's going to win?
I think the consensus is that The Shape of Water is going to win. The music is fantastic. You remember it. It works really well on the screen. But my vote would be for Dunkirk. I would vote for Dunkirk because it is a movie where very little dialogue is taking place, but that the music really helps to carry the story and shape your emotions as you're going through it. I loved what they did in Dunkirk, but if The Shape of Water won, I wouldn't be upset with that.
All right, we're almost out of time. Best Picture, we're going to play, we'll end with playing the score, and we'll have this underneath us, but really quickly, this is like we're running out of time for this, so we're going to play the music, just like at the Oscars. Look, they're going to bring the music up. Katie, Best Picture.
I agree with Reggie that I think Get Out was the most important film made last year. I think it's a film that is going to stand the test of time. I think it should win. There's maybe an outside chance that it might win. But we were talking earlier about The Shape of Water and its awards momentum. I think Hollywood really likes movies about the love of movies, and that is something that's what The Shape of Water is. You know, it's a love letter to monster movies. It's really well done, and I think it'll probably win.
Reggie?
So I would vote for Get Out, but I think actually Three Billboards is going to edge in there and win.
All right. There we go. We are out of time. Thank you so much, both of you. Katie Reif is news editor at the AV Club. Reggie Ponder is the Real Critic. Thanks for being with me. Have a happy Oscars weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
the 21st is made possible by the Center for Advanced Study, presenting Organizing with Love in a Time of Hate, March 6th at 4 p.m. at Spurlock Museum. Author, activist, and thought leader Ai-Jen Poo will speak about the current political climate and the potential for change. cas.illinois.edu.
Listening to the 21st, I'm Nyla Boodoo. Dance competitions on TV are all the rage these days, whether it's Dance Moms or So You Think You Can Dance, but the Joffrey Ballet in Chicago is offering the real deal through its Joffrey Academy of Dance. In its eighth year, the annual Winning Works Choreographic Competition gives choreographers from around the world a chance to showcase their productions at the Joffrey. The Academy focused on calling out quote-unquote ALANA artists, which stands for African, Latina, Asian, Arab, and Native American for this competition. And the four choreographers who won this year are scheduled to have their productions performed at the Edlis Neeson Theater at Chicago's Museum of Contemporary Art this weekend. We'll tweet out info on buying tickets and have that up at our website at 21stshow.org. Right now, one of the winning choreographers is actually a native of Chicago, Luis Vasquez. He graduated from the University of Illinois, where he studied dance, and he went on to join Thodos Dance Chicago. He's on the line from Chicago. We're also joined by Joffrey's artistic director, Ashley Weider. Both of you, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being with me.
Yes, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Luis, let's start with you. Your ballet, your dance, Sea of Comets, is premiering this weekend. How would you describe the work?
I would describe Sea of Comets as sort of this ethereal, outer-worldly experience that still has very human ties. I love creating drama within an abstract environment. I sort of love trickling in the audience slowly into this new world. And then within that new world, they sort of make connections to the dancers and to the music. And then once they enter that world, then I sort of, you know, pull at the heartstrings and sort of keep the time churning and sort of into the sort of otherworldly thing. I try to create things that are abstract but still innately human, which I think dance as a medium of art really does well, and it's a great collaboration.
Luis, what can you tell us about the music you're working with?
Yeah, so my music is by the composer named Ezio Bozzo. This is my second piece I've choreographed to his music. I love his music because it's beautiful, it's dramatic, but it's sort of under the cusp of melodramatic, and that's right the wavelength that I want my choreography to live. To the dancers, I've described the music as a beautiful curtain. You know, sometimes we slash through the curtain, but sometimes we just let the curtain do its work, and so my choreography reflects that. You know, when there's beautiful crescendos in the music, sometimes I have the dancers be still, so, you know, we can just appreciate the music too.
And Ashley, this is the eighth year that the Joffrey has held the Winning Works competition. As I mentioned, Luis is one of four winning choreographers. How did you go about the search?
I think, in general, I mean, I'm really thrilled about that, you know, 8 years later, we're still having amazing success with it. And I think it's a really important platform for choreographers, but also for our studio trainee company. And so the process is that we have a call for people that are interested to come and create on the studio trainee program. They get a stipend, and we've been able to increase that stipend over the years. And I think that, we actually get a lot of applicants, and we go through a lot of material. You know, we're looking for people that really are trying to tell a story, and that they have a craft to their work, and they have an understanding of their work. And I would say, having seen Lewis's work, that there is amazing craft in it. And I think that you want to affect your audience with the craft of dance.
And Ashley, is there something particular you were looking for in choreographers or for the pieces that chose that were the winning choices?
Well, I think that we want to balance. So, you know, there is a big topic around in the world of dance now about giving a platform to more female choreographers. So we have Claudia Shearer, who has also created a work on the studio company. But I think it's having a program that's really balanced. And I think all four of the winners bring something very distinct of their own way of moving. And collectively, I think it makes for a very strong program.
How would you describe what Lewis brings that's distinctive?
I think that a little bit like what he was saying, that his work is abstract, and yet when you put, you know, somebody on a stage and you add other people, and there's a relationship and there's a connection, and I think how he has used the music that he has chosen to show a dynamic through those relationships with each other is giving us a story that maybe Lewis isn't going to tell us what it is, but we will find that story within ourselves.
Lewis, I'm fascinated by the idea of how one becomes a choreographer. And I think there are probably lots of folks listening who were tuning into the Olympics and watching the ice dancing. There's lots of conversations about choreography. And I was thinking at the time, how does one become a choreographer for ice dancers or for Olympians? You studied dance in college. Have you always known that you wanted to work in dance, Lewis?
Yes, I've always had a passion for sort of, you know, bodies moving in time and space. I always loved anatomy was my favorite subject. And when I first saw dance, it's when it all sort of clicked for me. And I studied science on top of dance at the University of Illinois. And I think that really affects my choreography. One of my favorite classes was organic chemistry. I loved seeing the sort of molecules shift in space and sort of those organic pathways. And I try to parallel that in my choreography. There's sort of these mechanisms and lines and diagonals that sort of shape to highlight like a duet or a trio. And I think my eye naturally gravitates. So I imagine the dancers as sort of particles, or in this case, comets, sort of colliding and creating new organisms. So I think I've always had that visual eye and keen for movement. And then pursuing it as a career for me came to light in college. You know, the program I went to did an awesome job of really teaching us how to navigate a career in dance. And so it took flesh later in the years, but I think I've always sort of had that eye for sort of movement and, you know, art and how something can take shape and evolve within space.
And how did choreography come to you? How did you find that?
I had an amazing full circle moment with the Joffrey Ballet. I started dancing at the age of 17 through Joffrey's After School Matters program. This is when YouTube was first starting. I was about as self-taught as one can be in ballet. So I saw that the Joffrey had this community outreach program. I auditioned on a whim, and they took a chance on me as a dancer back then. And then now they're taking a chance on me again as a choreographer, and it's been a really full circle moment. And sort of in both auditions and in both cases, I felt very supported. Back then as a dancer, you know, they give you amazing instruction. They give you amazing motivation to really hone your craft. And then now coming back as a choreographer, I've had the amazing support of the Joffrey team. I've had access to incredible dancers. I've had an amazing ballet master. You know, choreography is one of those things where it's innately in you, but you do need a lot of logistics and help to flesh it out. And the Joffrey in this case has completely helped in that sense.
So, Lewis, hold on. You taught yourself to dance watching YouTube?
Yeah, I sort of YouTube beginning ballet, and then I sort of was like, okay, that's first position, this is second position. You know, when I actually got into the studio, that's when I was like, oh, this is a lot harder than YouTube. I think what's so beautiful about ballet and dance especially is that it's really a craft that's handed down from teacher to student. You know, nothing really compares to that sort of one-on-one time you get with a ballet teacher. And I think that's why the art has survived and why it will continue to thrive, that sort of one-on-one attention. You can just really tell in students and teachers when you have that strong connection.
Ashley, for people who aren't familiar with the dance world, do you think there's a different kind of mindset between having a great onstage presence and a great behind-the-scenes one when you're thinking about choreographing all of this?
I think it's the balance of both of it. And I do think that, you know, for people that are not sure if they, you know, there's this sticking point, because people, if you talk about ballet, people see it as maybe sitting in one kind of idea. And I think that, you know, what we really do is we dance, and everything that we're given might have the language of ballet in it, but the broader look is that it's a dance performance. And I think that choreographically, the work you do behind the scenes is what's going to set you forward when you get to a performance. And I think that, you know, this is the thing about trying to define someone who has craft, because it's an innate thing that's built into the individual. You can certainly recognize it when you see someone's work and how they put it together and how it drives through the time frame that it's choreographed in. So I think that giving this opportunity to as many people as we can, and the success of having choreographers come through the Winning Works program, have gone on to now work with professional companies all over the country, I think says a lot about the benefits of it.
And I was going to ask you about that, Ashley. Why do you think it's important for the Joffrey to bring dancers or choreographers to provide this opportunity, as you're talking about these young choreographers like Lewis, into this world?
I think because we really believe in diversity and equity and inclusion. And I think that that begins at the top. And I think that we want to be absolutely at the table with the rest of the world in changing our ideas about giving people opportunity. So I've always felt very strongly about it. And so I'm now in my 10th year as the artistic director. And as soon as we opened our academy, which was 9 years ago, we just thought that it was a fantastic opportunity for these dancers that are right on the brink of their professional career, and having that experience of what is the collaboration of creating new work, it's an essential part of being a professional dancer. So putting the program together was really such a great love, and I think to see the results of it have been really just incredibly heartwarming.
Lewis, you're from Chicago. You went to the University of Illinois. You really have deep roots in Illinois, right?
Yeah,
what does it mean to have a show at the Joffrey?
It's a dream come true, to say the least. I've stuck around in Chicago because I really believe in Chicago's story. I believe it's such a vibrant city full of diversity, and I think I've stuck around here because the art that's created here is just reflective of that. You know, I always say art isn't created in a vacuum. It's always a sort of reflection about what's happening right now. And that's why, you know, art and dance has that sort of innate, you know, you're not really sure why you're feeling something, but you're feeling something. And I've stuck around in Chicago because I really am passionate about the mission, and presenting a work through one of the world's top ballet companies is just, I get chills every time I say it. It's been such an amazing honor of doing it.
And do you think that is a challenge, though? As I talk to lots of artists, whether they're musicians or like you in dance, do you feel like it is tougher to do something like this in Chicago versus New York, or for a lot of musicians, the West Coast is really important? I imagine for ballet, New York is also very important. Why do you think it's important to kind of make sure that you're still here in the Midwest?
For me, a lot is about just giving back to the community. You know, of course, I'm open to opportunities in other cities, but really, it warms my heart a little bit more to be able to present this work and give it back to the city that I came from. It's sort of this, I want to recycle and refuel the flame of the art in Chicago. And as soon as I'm a part of that, I want to immediately give it back. So that's why it's so important for me. I want to be a part of Chicago's history. I want to pave my own sort of pathway into Chicago's dance world.
And do you have a lot of family and friends coming out this weekend to see that?
I do, and they're all very excited, as am I.
So that will be this weekend. It's the 8th annual Winning Works Choreographic Competition. Choreographers gives a chance from all over the world to showcase their productions at the Joffrey at Chicago's Museum of Contemporary Art. If you're in the Chicago area and interested in attending, we will put all of that information up at our website, 21stshow.org. Lewis Vasquez is a University of Illinois alum, a Chicago native, and one of the choreographers. I want to thank him, as well as the Joffrey's artistic director, Ashley Weider, for being with me. Thank you for being with me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. What a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So that's all the time we have for today. Let's end with hearing a little bit of that music. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Thanks for listening. Have a good weekend.